Okay, I was. Should we just pray, and then we'll get into what we're going to look at today. Lord, I just thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who wants to invade people's lives today. And Lord, I just pray that as we seek your word, Lord, look at what's written in your word. I pray, Lord, by your spirit that you'll just minister to our hearts. And Lord, just develop what you want to say to us, I pray. And may we know that we've met with a living God today. In your precious name. Amen. I'm conscious, I think I've been here a few times and I've spoken about Peter a couple of times, and I'm going to speak about him again today. And it's all very different. Don't think I'm picking the same sermon again, but I just keep coming back round to him. Must be the, I don't know if I come out to you in a certain month, but perhaps that's my Peter month or something like that. But yeah, I just want to have a little look at the calling of Peter and just have a look at a few points there that I hope will encourage us this morning. So Luke 5, chapters 1 verses 1 to 11. I'll just I'll read those out. What have we got here? Is this the NIV? Okay, yeah, I'll read it from here then. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, where have I gone to? Put out into the deep water and let down your nets." Simon answered, Okay, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he had all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners, then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. Okay, I just want to share a few brief points on that. We're not going to go through the whole lot, but I just find this interesting how Jesus went, and he went to meet with Peter and to call a couple of them as disciples. And it's interesting where this took place. It took place on the sea. It took place in Peter's circumstances. And I just think that's really, really interesting, you know. And I want to say to you this morning that Jesus is interested in you, okay? He's interested in you, and he's interested in where you are and your circumstances. Okay, and you know, I think sometimes we've got this mentality that we want people to come into our churches, and I want to say that we need to go out and show interest in where people are. And Jesus went to Peter, and he went to call him there where he was. So whatever you're doing, whatever your job is on a Monday morning, whether that may be work, whether that might be at home, whether that might be caring for a family member, whatever that is, Jesus is interested in you and your situation, okay? And he wants to meet you in that situation, whether that's up a ladder. Sorry, it's probably a bit of a poor taste joke, but Jesus is interested exactly where you are, okay? And I think that's so important, because sometimes we can come into the church and this can be a great place for us to learn and be ministered to, but Jesus is interested in where we are and in what we do, and he wants to invade our situation, even our struggles. And sometimes I think in our struggles we go solo, And Jesus wants to be in that struggle with you, and he wants to lead you through. And I've really found it interesting looking at the other apostle Saul. You know, you just think of him in his murderous ways, Saul, murdering Christians, causing havoc in the Christian world. And then Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. And there's that one verse in there where God speaks to Ananias and says, go and meet with Saul, a chosen vessel of mine. Okay, and you see that ownership that Jesus is saying about this man who you'd have thought he wouldn't have had much care for. He loved Saul. He met with Saul. And, you know, I think sometimes we must really understand that Jesus is interested in you, in us. Okay? And he wants to be there with you. And we just, in those times, we must seek Jesus in our struggles, in our works. And it's not a separate, our Christianity walk isn't separate at all, is it? It's all inclusive of Jesus being with us wherever we are. Another point I wanted to make is it was interesting that Jesus called Peter into the deep. Okay, when they were there, the men were washing their nets, and Jesus went out into the boat, into the shallows, okay, and he started teaching the multitudes from the boat. All right, now we're comfortable in the shallows, aren't we? Okay, why are we comfortable in the shallows? Because we can stand on our own feet, can't we? All right? Okay? And I want to say to you that sometimes you may have been, I don't know how long you've been in this church, but we can be comfortable in receiving teaching. Okay? And you may have been taught for many, many years, but there comes a point where Jesus wants to say to you, I want to take you out into the deep. And when he takes us out into the deep, that's when we start seeing amazing things. And that's where we start seeing God infiltrate our own lives. Okay? And that place of the deep is a place of vulnerability where God is working. And my question I want to ask you this morning is, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Because Peter was there listening, mending his nets, listening to the teaching of Jesus. Okay? And he was probably receiving that. Then Jesus says to him, Peter, let's go out into the deep. And that's where the animosity starts, isn't it? Okay? Because Peter says, being a skilled fisherman, this is not the time for fishing. Okay? Now Jesus, you're on my territory now. Okay, I'm a fisherman. I've been doing this for many years, and I know when to fish and when not to fish. Okay? All right, but Jesus knows fishing better than Peter does. And I want to say to you that Jesus knows your situation. He knows your job. He knows your circumstances better than you do. Okay? That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Okay? And that's why he wants to be in there, for you to see his glory and for him to move. I've got this quote. It's not my quote. I don't know where I got it from. I was just looking in my journal. Sometimes we want a religious career without having to deal with God or Jesus. Okay? We want a career, a religious career, without dealing with Jesus. And that is an impossibility. Okay? And that's why I'm saying to you that he wants to infiltrate every part of our lives, and he wants us to be people of faith. That people are constantly listening to him, where we can see, we've been singing this morning, I don't know whether you picked up the word, the main words we've been listening to us singing about is salvation. Okay? Salvation is continual. Okay? He saved me, but I want him to continually save me and see his glory in situation after situation after situation. Okay? Alright? And it's amazing what happens to Peter here. Because as Peter goes out to the deep, we see that he's shaped, he receives revelation, he's transformed, and he sees the glory of God. And as we respond to what Jesus says to us, we are shaped. Okay? I'm going to say to us, you know, I don't say this, we are shaped by teaching, but you know, when we look at the Bible and read all about it, this isn't a doctrinal statement. People are working out their salvation as they go through experiences, okay? And God wants to shape us as we walk the journey with him. Not our own, but with him. Okay, and he reveals and shows us things. And let's have a look at Peter's response. Peter, yeah, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. So that was his answer. It's probably a polite way of saying it. I mean, I imagine me in that situation. Look, I'm tired. I'm a bit cheesed off. I've caught nothing. The last thing I want to do is go out. And look what he says to Jesus. He calls his master. He's basically calling him a teacher. Okay, you're a teacher. I'm a fisherman. But he then says, nevertheless, at your word. At your word. And I think sometimes in that response of Peter's, we have that I know best. I know best. And Peter had a journey, didn't he? And I think, as a man sometimes, sorry, I'm not saying as regards to a female, but I'm just saying as the head of my house, I think, right, I'm in charge, I know best. But do you know what? That's a bad attitude to have as a Christian, isn't it? We need to be seeking what Jesus says and walking with him. And Peter here was saying, I know best. And the issue we have with that is you see later on in Peter's life, can you remember when Jesus was predicting his death? It says in Matthew 16, I'm here, you don't have to turn to it, it says this, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up the third day. Then Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offence to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And what was happening there is Peter was going into isolationism again. He was taking God out of the equation and saying, I decide. Okay? And we've got to be really careful of that. Because Peter changed. We'll see later how he was completely changed. And another interesting song we sang about today, take your mind off yourself and think about him. Okay? I haven't sung that song for years, but I thought, cool, isn't that really interesting? And I was chuckling to myself as I was, is it your mind off yourself? What is it? Forget yourself and put your mind on him. Okay? And Peter here is thinking about himself. And, you know, isolationism has got its roots back in the Garden of Eden, hasn't it? Okay? And it's constantly saying, let's think about him. And what's that talking about? Again, we've been talking about that this morning, about children of God. God's heart is for us to have a relationship and not to be isolated. But it's all about family, it's about connection. And Peter was learning that here. And my light's gone. Perhaps that's my time up. Shall I revert back to this one? Yeah, okay. A bit closer. Up a bit. Right, just do that, yeah. Is that okay? I'll have to get like an old preacher and come down. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay, brilliant. Okay. And with that walk with Peter, he started calling Jesus master, but then as he goes out into the deep and he sees this miraculous fish, this catch, he calls Jesus Lord. And I would just want to challenge us today, what is our title of Jesus? Is it master or is it Lord? And this is really real, folks, because there has to be times where I think my response to Jesus is Master. Okay, you teach, but it's got to be Lord of our lives and Lord in every area. And Peter works out this, doesn't he, throughout his walk with Jesus. But as he walks with Jesus and responds to what Jesus says to him, as he goes out into the deep, that place of vulnerability, he sees the glory and the power of God. I've got no idea what happens there. I don't know whether the fish were just created, whether the fish were brought in into the boat at that point. But a miracle took place that blew Peter's mind. Okay? And it's because he was responding to the words of Jesus. And not he shunned his isolationism of going it my way, I know best. And he followed what Jesus said. And in that, he was blown away. And through that, he fell down on his knees and was aware of the divine presence of God. Okay? And I think sometimes we try and make the Bible cleaner than it actually is. I mean, Peter was a rogue. He was a hard fisherman, okay? He would have been a bit of a Jack the Lad and a rogue, okay? And here he met with Jesus and it changed his whole situation and his whole outlook on life, okay? Because he met with Jesus. And, you know, I've said this before, that Jesus knows your situation better than you do. And let's invite him in. Let's see him in those situations that you struggle with. Okay? And do what he says, to see his glory, to be blown away by him and aware of his divine presence in our lives. Because, folks, we need his power to live. That's the only way we can live. And over a period of time, Peter made some mistakes, and don't we all? Okay? But Peter had a heart change. Okay, I've just been reading quite a bit about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And, you know, we have in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel the prophetic words in the Old Testament where they were saying that God will give you a new heart. And what else did he say? I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit, and I will dwell within you. Now that's exciting, isn't it? And, you know, Peter was talking about this in Acts 2, wasn't he? When he first spoke, okay? And he says this. Let me just say Acts 2, 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar, as many as the Lord our God will call. You see what Peter was saying there? He was saying, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the presence of God. Move away from isolationism. Repent. Turn away from your way. And be united. Be united with Jesus. Okay? This man who was on his own, doing his own thing, thought he knew best, is now talking about being united with Christ. Being united with Christ. And later on, in one of his letters, he talks about baptism. Okay, and it's interesting that in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 20, he refers to baptism. I read it there. And he talks about baptism in the life of Noah. Okay, you remember when Noah was building this ark for many, many years, and he would have been sharing in a hostile world about the love of God, and God will rescue you, and people ignored that. And who was saved? Noah's family, okay? Those that were united to Noah were saved, okay? And Peter was saying that Noah was a type. And those united to Jesus are saved. Those who are related to Noah are saved. And I think that's a really interesting point that Peter was saying. I am related to Christ. I am the bloodline of Christ. I'm united. I've got to do a baptism we've got a baptism in our church coming up in a couple of weeks. They've asked me to speak. And I'm going to buy everybody who's being baptised a gift. They don't know that. So if you know anybody in my church, don't say it yet. And I'm going to buy them a gift of a jar of pickled onions. Okay? All right? Because that is symbolic of baptism. Okay? It's like, you know, when you put an onion, the word baptised almost means marinated. Okay, you put an onion in vinegar, what happens? Okay, it takes on that vinegar flavour, doesn't it? Okay, alright, it's baptised in that vinegar and becomes part. The flavours from that vinegar go within that onion to the core. Okay, and that's what baptism is, and that's what Peter is saying here. And it all started with his calling. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And I'm baptized in the presence of Jesus. I take on his forgive the statement, his flavourings. Okay? All right? I don't know whether this will take off, pickled onions at baptisms, but do you understand what I'm saying there? And that's what, it's the unitedness, isn't it? It's coming together. And, you know, when we come with Jesus, what is happening? It's not us putting our hand in Jesus. It's not Jesus putting his hand in our hands. It's that coming together of united. It's me in Christ and Christ in me. Okay? And it's us walking together on a journey. He is my Saviour. And I need to learn from him. I want to be with him and I want to be united with him. And that's the heart of what Peter is saying here. A man who was saying, I know fishing better than you, but go on, I'll give it a try. And when he did, he saw amazing things and his life changed. Slowly, he made mistakes, but he became the Apostle Peter, who gave that first ministry at Pentecost. Because God, the Lord Jesus, had changed him and given him a new heart. And he was all out for Jesus. And I just want to encourage us. Do you know what? That can happen to us. Do you believe that? Yeah. It can absolutely happen to us. You know, and he can change us. He gives us that new heart. That new spirit. But not only that, he dwells within us to hear him. And I just want to say, allow God to permeate your life in all different circumstances, in all different fashions, that you may see the glory of God. And can I encourage you to share that with one another? Okay? Because we want to know about the salvation of God this last week. Okay? That encourages people. Okay? I want to know the salvation of God this week. Share it with people. Okay? Alright? And that is testimony. And do you know what? You can go out here and you can tell people what God is doing for you and what he's done for you this week. And people can't take that away from you. Okay? Because it's true and it's about you. All right? And, you know, the Bible is living and active today in each and every one of us. Okay? And that's what we've got to start proclaiming to people. Okay? And people come into our churches because of what they see in you. Okay, and what your testimony is and what God's done in your life and what God's transformed in my life, I share with people and say, this is what God's done for me, come and hear about it. Okay, because it's alive today. We're not studying a God of 2,000 years ago. We're studying a God who did amazing things 2,000 years ago, and the cross is central to that. That is amazing. Let's never forget that. But we're talking about a God who's active today. All right, and doing amazing things today. How does math exist? All right, and why does it exist? That's a testimony in itself, isn't it? It exists because of the love that people have to support aeroplanes flying out to bizarre countries that we've never heard of to send the love of Jesus to people. Okay, that's a testimony that people need to hear. So hang on, you give money To keep an aeroplane up in the air, yeah, I do, yeah. I don't personally, but I'm just saying that this is your testimony. And, you know, people, well, why do you do that? And then you've got an opening, haven't you? You know, let's be astounded by the power of God today. Sorry, I'm going to stop because I'm getting a bit excited and I can go on a bit longer. But that's what it's about, folks. And that was Peter's testimony. And your testimony is just as good. And when you hear that voice, that my testimony is nothing like that, don't believe that. That's not Jesus' voice, okay? It's not Jesus' voice at all. And I encourage you to be bold and journey with God and allow him to show his glory and power in your lives. Amen. I'll just pray, shall I? And we're going to sing a final song. When Tom gets up again, I'll start talking and then you can sit down again. Lord, I just thank you that you're a living and active God today. And Lord, I thank you for the power of testimony. And I thank you that you want to take us on a journey. I thank you for the journey that you took on with Peter. Lord, probably a bit of a job of a fisherman, yet you met with him in a mighty way. And you changed him, Lord. You did an amazing work with him. I thank you, Lord, that you were patient with him. You loved him, even when he messed up and he thought he'd blown it. But I thank you that you never give up on any of us. Never, ever. Even though we do mess up at times. Lord, I thank you for your amazing, amazing grace and patience. Lord, may we just today know your heart for us. Lord, may we see your glory in our situations that we find difficult with to deal with. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us at work, at home, wherever we are with children. Lord, that we will, Lord, just rely on you. Hear your voice, follow you, Lord, and just see your glory and your divine nature in those situations. Thank you for this morning, and Lord, just bless everyone here today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.